before you first, you know, hit on the football field. I played 4 years of football, and it didn't matter. Every game, I always had butterflies in my stomach. So I was on the kickoff team, was on offense, defense, but until that first hit on the kickoff, then it was on, you know? So I'm a little sore this morning spiritually because God's been beating me up. I tell you, we've had a good time the last few weeks. Brother Dave Spurgeon, his wife Susan, Brother David Falobi stopped by on a Sunday evening. And these guys are on fire because they got away to camp. And you know, it's a real simple thing, folks. It's just getting immersed in the Word of God. It's turning off the television set and getting your eyes in the book and getting on your knees. And that's the way it should be every day. Amen. Shame on us that we need camps and conferences. That should be the way we live every day of our lives. You know, we just sang a great hymn there. We just sang about me right here. False and full of sin I am. Amen. Thou art full of truth and grace. Amen. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness. Amen. I'm just a sinner saved by grace this morning. Amen. I'm so glad that I don't have religion. I have a relationship this morning. There's no deity or laity here, folks. We're just a family in Jesus' name. And if you're a visitor here this morning, I trust that you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. And if you're due, you're all part of this same family. Amen. And if you're not, I pray that before the end of this service, you know the Lord Jesus Christ today. Is anybody here without a Bible? Could you please raise your hand up high? Because I want you to look into the Word of God. I've got nothing, folks, for you today except God's Word. Amen? And that's all we need. My opinion, I mean, listen, I'm not eloquent. I'll make my disclaimers. I'm just a kid that grew up on another planet called Brooklyn. So I have a little bit of an accent. You forgive me. Some people say I speak too fast. I go to the scriptures too fast. Some people say I don't smile enough. You know, I feel like that newscaster. I got everything but the earpiece, you know. Brother, when you go up there, make sure you smile. You know, be kind and gentle, right? Amen. I've got my Acme Preacher's kit. Starts out with a sweat towel. Got to have your Bible. Amen. You need a Bible. Got some notes that I wrote down. But you know what? Except Jesus Christ meet with us this morning, it's all in vain. Amen. So I'm praying that He meet with us this morning. Amen. Got my bottle of water. And I'm going to take my jacket off right off the top, folks. I don't want to offend anybody. I'll keep my tie on. Heard these guys couldn't preach because they didn't have a tie. That's a shame. Amen. God is good this morning. I've been saved since the age of 13 years old back in 1978. And I got saved out of religion, amen. I didn't get saved out of life of drugs or alcohol or crime. But I got saved out of something that was subtly as wicked as that. That was called religion. It was just as harmful as those things, but it was harmful to me spiritually. So I was kind of like in that pot, you know, boiling water, and the heat was just slowly up. You know what I mean? And you know what we have to fight every day is complacency. That's the key, complacency. You know why? Because we live here in America, and boy, isn't it nice to live in America? America's a great country. We have all the creature comforts. But you know what it is? It's like you're that frog in that boiling water in America. Yeah. And you don't realize that everything is set up against you. Right. This is the devil's system. Now listen, don't get me wrong. It's not wrong to have a job. Listen, if you have a family, it's your responsibility. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel, the Bible says. But you know what? If we were honest this morning, we've got more than we need. Yes, we do. Well, that's some of you. Amen. You don't think so? Why don't you step out of America and go to a mission field and see how brothers and sisters live in Jesus' name over there with a song and a smile in their heart. You know what? That's the real stuff. Amen. And I started getting myself into trouble about 5 years ago. I started doing something crazy. I started reading my Bible twice a year. And God has been beating me up. You know, we look at people and we say, man, those people are crazy for Jesus. They're fanatics. You know that Harold Camping made a prediction, didn't he? He set a date of when Jesus was coming back. And there were some crazy people that actually sold all they had because they believed that Jesus was coming back that day. But you know, when you think about it, and I understand that doctrinally Harold Camping is crazy, but you know what, folks? If we were honest today, do we not believe that Jesus Christ is coming back? Does anybody believe that here this morning? Well, listen, if we were honest today, are we living today as if we knew the day, the time, and the hour that Jesus Christ was coming back? And if not, Let me ask you a question. If you knew the day and the hour, would there be anything in your life right now that you would change in Jesus' name? And I got to be honest with you. I had a stake. You know what, Lord? If I knew the day and the hour, I'd have to change some things in my life. Amen? That's just me. How about you? See, because I don't want to stand before Jesus Christ. See, guess what? Jesus Christ is real, folks. He's not a figment of my imagination. Amen. Listen, I never met Abraham Lincoln or George Washington. He's not a historian. Jesus Christ is my Savior this morning. And I will stand before Him and I will give an account for my health, for my wealth, for my mental well-being. I will give an account and I will be without excuse today. You know what? I believe that this morning. I believe that. And you know what? He doesn't want to hear about that I was spending 12 and 13 hours of my day paying a mortgage and keeping the lights on. He doesn't. Listen, when it comes to the judgment, what's going to matter? What's going to matter? The brother would say, knowing the terror of the Lord, what we persuade men. Listen, folks, I'm not trying to talk you out of a job or house. I'm just speaking about me. What if you knew Jesus was coming back next week? What would you do differently? If you can honestly say that I would change the way I'm living, that's the way you start to start living right now for Jesus Christ. Because we're coming down the home stretch, whether you believe it or not, folks. Amen? Listen, let's bow and have a word of prayer. Listen, if you're a visitor here this morning, first of all, let me just say that don't let me scare you off. Listen, the real pastor will be back, Lord willing, next week. Come back. Please don't judge this church on this poor stammering lips of a man here. All right? I'm not deep. I'm a simple kid, man. I'm a simple-minded individual. I like to keep it simple. You want the deep meat and doctrine, pass the mic and Brother Pat Deem give you the stumpy Dagon. You guys, you get the meat. Listen, I'm a simple kind of guy. That's just the way I'm wired, amen? So let's bow and have a word of prayer, and we'll get into the word this morning. Father in heaven, Lord, it's a privilege to be called the Son of God, Lord. Thank you for the blood of Jesus Christ that cleanses me from all sin, Father. And Lord, I'll ask, Father, even now that you might, Father, put me aside. Lord, I just pray for the next whatever, Father, you might speak through me today, Lord, Father. Lord, just take these feeble notes, Lord, and my feeble efforts, Lord, and just, Father, just breathe life, Father, into your word this morning, Father. Let your spirit roam the aisles and, Father, touch the hearts of your people. And, Lord, Father, I just pray that you would get all the honor and glory of all that's said and done here this morning, Father. I commit it to thee in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, there's not a lack of information, and I'm sure I've said this before, about God. Amen? I mean, we are full and inundated about God, you know? And you guys are too serious, man. Wow. Listen, you guys hear the one about this United Way worker? He's going through his files, and he finds that there's a prominent member of his community, a lawyer. And this, of course, is an unsaved lawyer. Where's my brother Carl? Carl, where are you? Brother, I got nothing for love for you. Nothing against lawyers. This is an unsaved lawyer in this illustration, please. This lawyer made about 500 grand one year, and this United Way worker noticed that he didn't even make one contribution to their campaign. So he calls him up and says, sir, going through my records, and I noticed that you've never contributed to our organization, and I just was wondering if you'd like to, support our efforts in the community. So this lawyer mulled it over for a second. He says, well, let me ask you a question, he says to the United Worker. Did your research show you that my mother has been battling a long-term illness and that she has medical bills that are four times her income? Well, wow, this United Way worker mumbled a little bit. The lawyer quickly snapped back. And by the way, did your research show you that my brother is a veteran and he's blind and bound to a wheelchair? Well, now this United Way worker is really blown away and starts to mumble even some more, and then the lawyer snaps back. And did your research show you, by the way, that my sister last year lost her husband tragically in a car accident, and now she's left to raise three children by herself? What that, the United Worker just says, you know what, sir, I'm really sorry. I had no idea. And the lawyer quit back. So if I didn't give them any money, what makes you think I'm going to give you some? Amen? The Sunday school teacher says to one of his students, so Johnny, do you pray before you eat? And Johnny says, no, sir, I don't have to. My mom's a good cook. All right, amen. Now I know you're breathing in alive, all right? That was the joke segment of the message. Listen, there's not a lack of information. You know, folks, we're coming down to the end. We're going to meet our maker soon. And you know what? There's a lot of people and organizations and things that teach about the afterlife, right? What happens after life, life after death, right? And I was just reading, and I want to share a couple of these things for you here. The Hindu believes, it's similar to Buddhism, that salvation is reached when the worshiper is freed from the cycle of reincarnation. Hinduism teaches reincarnation. Imagine that, as if this life going through wasn't bad enough once. You just get recycled all the time, right? And it says that you get saved when you get freed from this cycle of reincarnation, and then your spirit becomes one with God, right? One becomes free by ridding oneself of bad karma, which is the effect of evil action and evil intent. This can be done in three different ways: through selfless devotion to and service of a particular God, through understanding the nature of the universe, or by mastering the actions needed to fully appease the God. Sounds like the groundwork for a Jedi Knight, right? I mean, it's amazing, right? What is Roman Catholicism? Roman Catholicism. Upon death, the souls of those who rejected Christ are sent to hell. The souls of those who accepted Christ and performed sufficient acts to be purified of sin go to heaven. Those who died in faith, listen to this, those who died in faith but did not complete the steps to be purified are sent to purgatory, where they will undergo temporary painful punishment until their souls are cleansed. Purification by torment may be lessened by suffering during life and the offerings and prayers of others on the sinner's behalf. Once purification is complete, the soul may go to heaven. Now, I don't know about you, but that's the damnation that God saved me out of. And that's probably the one that I despise and hate the most. All right? Can you believe that? You can die in faith, but still not go to heaven. I'm not making this stuff up, folks. Here's a good one: Unitarianism or Universalism. Unitarians are allowed to and encouraged to believe anything they like about the afterlife and how to get there. Boy, isn't that special? Although in general, they believe people should seek enlightenment in this life and not worry too much about the afterlife. Imagine that. And you can go on and on. Scientology. Scientology is similar to Eastern religion in that salvation is achieved through the knowledge of self and the universe. The thetan or thetan, which is their terminology for the soul, travels through several different lifetimes, attempting to expel painful and traumatic images that cause a person to act fearfully and irrationally. Once a Scientologist is cleared of all these harmful images and becomes an operating thetan, he or she is able to control thought, life, manner, energy, space, and time, etc., etc., etc. How about that? You can read more. Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, I mean, take your pick. They all have an opinion and say about what's going on. Just put these to the side. My biggest challenge when I preach is keeping stuff in order. So I promised myself I'm going to keep stuff in order. Amen? Listen, religion will send you to hell this morning. That's the bottom line. You know what? You know who the father of religion is? You know who started the first religion in the Bible? Let's look at it this morning. Here's the first religious service that ever occurred in the Scriptures. Look at Genesis chapter 3. And you know what? We have to be careful because you know what? You can be saved and you can be religious this morning. What do I mean by that? You know what? We sing some songs this morning about worship. Brethren, we have come to worship, right? You know, you can be a saved Christian but worship your belief in the Savior and not the Savior himself. You can worship your doctrine, right? Listen, legalism to me is just another form of religion. Amen? You can worship how you should dress, the church and the house, right? We're here to worship God in spirit and truth. I'm not here to worship what I believe about God or what my feelings are about. I'm here to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what we need to do every day. Remind ourselves.
Well, who do we worship?
Look at Genesis chapter 3. Now verse 1 says, the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman in verse 2 said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God had said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And verse 4, and the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. Verse 5, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. This was the first religious service that ever happened in the Bible. What am I talking about? You know what religion does? It says, yea, hath God said. See, it gives you maybe a little surface of truth, but it covers with all this dogma and hocus pocus that before you know it, there's no more truth left. Listen, didn't the devil quote a verse of scripture there? Right? It's truth. And then look what happens here. Eve adds to the word. What does she say? Neither shall you touch it lest you die. God didn't say you couldn't touch it. God never said that. That's what religion does, folks. It gives you a little bit of truth. It adds to, it takes from. And you know what the main goal of religion is? To elevate yourself, right? Just like in here. For the God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. That's the purpose of religion. Not to get closer to God, but to get closer to yourself. So you have a better understanding of yourself and the universe around you. You know what Jesus Christ thinks about religion? Let's turn and see what Jesus thinks about religion. Turn to Matthew chapter 23. You know that there's so many different, what they call Bibles today. They're not Bibles. They're perversions of the Word of God is what they are. But 90% of those supposed Bibles, they all say the same thing. Only 10% of the content of all those different Bibles differ. And they all touch on the same thing. What is it? The blood atonement of Jesus Christ. That it was Jesus' blood that was shed. That Jesus Christ is actually God. That He is the only means of salvation. Isn't that a coincidence? You think there's something going on here, folks? Somebody doesn't want you to know who Jesus is.
Amen.
Matthew 23, I love, let me tell you something, the best preaching in the Bible was when Jesus spoke. I love, read this. Matthew 23, this is what Jesus Christ thinks about religion. Then spake Jesus to the multitude and his disciples, saying, the scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do, but do not ye after their works, for they say, and they do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all their works they do for what? To be seen of men. It's all pomp and circumstance. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and cheap seats in the synagogues, and greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. Verse 8, but be not ye called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And can I tell you here this morning something? I didn't draw straws and come up with the short end of the stick here. That's not why I'm asked to preach. And listen, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. I made an offer to one of my brothers back there. I'll count the money you preached this morning. He turned me down, but you know what? Listen. We're all sinners saved by grace. You understand? There's no deity and laity in this church. We're all the same. God is no respecter of persons. Amen? And that's the truth. Verse 10, neither be ye called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Verse 1, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whatsoever shall whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall be humble himself shall be exalted. Look at verse 3, but woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye shut up the kingdom of heaven against men, for ye neither go in yourselves, neither suffer ye them that are entering to go in. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you devour widows' houses and for a pretense make long prayer. Therefore you shall receive the greater damnation. Wow. Do you understand what you're reading there? I mean, this is a bunch of people that, religious folks, the Pharisees, the scribes, that when a woman's husband would die, they'd go to the house, you know, and they'd have this special, you know, whatever it is. Sound familiar? You know? And they pray for that person's soul, right? For a small fee. Isn't that convenient? Right? Sound familiar? That's the religion I came from. You paid so much money, you'd have a nice mass on a certain day. And you can pray for Aunt Betty or Aunt so-and-so because their soul was in purgatory somewhere. Let me tell you something. That's blasphemy this morning. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, verse 15, for you compass sea and land to make one proselyte, and when he is made, you make him twofold more the child of hell than yourselves. The Jehovah's Witness doesn't like this portion of God's Word because hell's mentioned about four or five times. They don't believe in hell. Isn't that convenient? You know the Jews don't believe in a little hell either? But isn't that convenient? Jesus preached on hell right here. Amen. Verse 17, you fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? Look at down here. 23, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave the other undone. Ye blind guides which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. Woo! I love man. He preached it straight. He told his guys, you guys will strain at a gnat, but you'll swallow a camel. Isn't that so true of humanity though? Right? I mean, we'll believe the record of man. We'll believe that, right? How is it that some man can come on the scene, whether it's the late 1800s, whether it's the mid-1950s, right? And he can say, well, I had this vision of God, right? Write a book. And people will follow that. I mean, it's just, it boggles the mind. And a lot of these cults that are out there, that's just how they started. You know, some man went into indigestion in the middle of the night, said he had some vision and apparition of God, and God gave him this holy revelation, right? Man, it's hogwash. It's hogwash. Amen? And people buy it, hook, line, and sinker. It says, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you may clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, clean first that which is within the cup and the platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Amen? Listen, Jesus didn't have any patience for this crowd. He called them here, verse 33, ye serpents, ye generations of vipers, how can ye escape the damnation of hell? Look at John chapter 8. I know this is familiar. Again, speaking to this religious crowd. John chapter 8. It says here, speaking Jesus in 40, but now you seek to kill me, a man that had told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. You do the deeds of your father. Then said they to them, we be born out of fornication. They were accusing Jesus Christ of being a bastard son because they knew that Joseph would marry, were not married when Jesus was conceived, right? And Jesus said unto them, verse 42, if God were your father, ye would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. 43, why do ye not understand my speech, even because ye cannot hear my word? 44, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Amen? So, listen, folks, religion is not going to get you to heaven. Amen? And Jesus plainly, flat out, condemned religion. He had no patience for religion. Amen? You know, the Bible says that there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The ways of death. You see, you can go to heaven today without help. Many people do. And you can go to heaven today without any money. You don't need to be wealthy. And you can go to heaven as an ignorant man. Listen, the apostles were just fishermen. You don't need a college degree this morning, folks, to get to heaven. Amen? Praise God for it. And you don't need works. Ephesians 2:8-9 tells us, by grace you're saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You don't have to be a refined individual this morning. You don't need culture to get into heaven. Heck, you don't even have to be beautiful. You could be ugly, as Brother Kincaid says, as homemade soap. I've never seen homemade soap, but it must be pretty ugly. Right? But you can be ugly as sin this morning, and you could still get to heaven. Woo! Hey, you don't need any friends to get you to heaven. You could be alone. Isn't that true? And there's a thousand other things you can add to that list this morning. But you know what you do need? You cannot go to heaven without the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's just the bottom line. You do need Him to get there. Amen? Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. Verse 1 says, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And whither I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Amen? Listen, I love the beginning of this. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house were many men. If it were not so, Jesus said, hey, listen, guys, if this wasn't true, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. I mean, these are like really encouraging, comforting words. You know, there is a way to heaven. And it's only one way. And the world doesn't want to hear that this morning. Amen? They don't. You know, philosophy says that you can think your way out. Science says that you can invent your way out. Legislators say that you can legislate your way out. Politicians say you can spend your way out. The government says you can socialize your way out, right? And the liquor crowd says you can drink your way out. The tobacco crowd says, hey, you can smoke your way out. Youth says you can drug your way out. Psychiatry says that you can talk your way out. Money says you can buy your way out. Demonstrators say you can shout your way out. Industry says you can work your way out. Religion says you can liturgize or creed your way out. You know what Satan says? There is no way out. But you know what Jesus says? I am the way out. I am the way out. Amen? He is the way out, folks. There is no other way. Amen? And you bear with me because I'm going to keep with my notes. Because I always go home after preaching and I find like these three notes in the back and I'm like, damn! I didn't give them the good stuff. And I don't get the privilege of coming back the following week to give you it. So, so you just bear with me as I flip my pages here. Amen. Jesus is the only way out. Amen. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. Praise God. If you know Jesus Christ this morning, amen, as your Savior. He's a good God. See, without the way, you cannot go. Amen. Look at Acts chapter 4. Yeah, I know this is basic stuff, folks, but you know what? That's where the devil trips us up. That's where he robs your song and your joy. Because he wants you to forget about Jesus. You know, young people get on fire for Jesus Christ. You know what? And I understand that stuff about us older folks in the Lord. You know what happens? It's like everything else. It's human nature, right? The new car, after a while, wears off, right? You're married. Listen, you're not, and don't get me wrong, you can love your wife as much as you did 25 years later in marriage. But it's different. It's not that bubbly, giggly butterfly thing. You know what I'm saying? It evolves. And you know what human nature is? That, you know what? Things get old. Things get complacent. We don't appreciate things like when they were brand new, right? You buy a new house, after a few years, you know, the paint starts chipping and things wear down, and it's not so new anymore. But you know what? Jesus Christ, we have to work and cultivate that relationship every day. And I don't care if you saved 1 year this morning, 5, 20, 30. He should be just as beautiful and just as exciting to you today as he was the day you got saved. Amen? And that's the key. And he can be. Acts chapter 4, verse 10. Be it known unto you all and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you all. This is the stone which set at naught of the builders, which has become the head of the stone of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. When I got saved, I didn't exchange a philosophy or a religion. Well, I just didn't exchange a building where I worship. I exchanged a religion for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? He's not the flavor of the month, folks. He's just not some benevolent soul. He's my Savior. Amen? Look at Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Without the way, you cannot go. It says in verse 10 of Isaiah 43, "You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior." Amen? I love that. "I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." You know, that refutes the Jehovah Witness. They believe that Jesus is a mighty God and God is an almighty God. And at some point in time that Jesus was a created lesser God. They actually believe he's an angel. But listen, this verse says that, look, read it again. It says, "I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me." He always was, folks. Amen. He's eternal. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. That we might see Jesus this morning. Amen. Verse 18. "But thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it, he created it not in vain. He formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else." Amen. You can get a little to gap theory thought going in there. And for you theologians, you know what I'm talking about. God made the earth for a purpose. Amen. To be inhabited. Formed. Right? You go back to Genesis and you read the beginning of that chapter and there was something happened there. Amen? I won't charge you extra for that little tidbit. "I have not spoken in secret," verse 19, "in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Assemble yourselves and come and draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations." They have no knowledge of that set up the wood. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. That sounds like religion to me, folks. "Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word is gone out of my mouth, in righteousness and shall not return, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." Woo! There is nobody else, folks, this morning. There is no other God. Listen, religion has a lot of different names for what they call God. Can I tell you something? He's not the same God that I worship. You can call him Hindu, Buddha, Confucius. You can call him Muhammad. You can call him Allah. He's not the God of the Word of God. He's just not. You don't know God. If you don't know Jesus this morning, you have no idea who God is. Amen. Amen. That's just the truth. And we don't say that because we're arrogant or we have a corner on the market. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten for the whosoever. I'm just a poor whosoever this morning that God, by His grace and Spirit, opened up His eyes one day. And at the age of 13, this Jesus that I had known about in my teachings, I went to Catholic school. I heard about Jesus. Hey, listen, doesn't the book of James say the devils believe and tremble? Is that right? I was like one of those guys. I knew about God here, but I didn't know Him here. Amen? And then one day the Lamb of God became my Lamb. Amen? And He's personal. He died for me. He died for you this morning. Amen? And that should excite us, folks. It don't get any more exciting than that. That God died for you. Amen? You're real excited about that, I see. Matthew 1:21 says, "And she shall bring forth the Son," speaking of Jesus, Matthew 1:21, "and thou shalt call His name Jesus." Why? "For He shall save His people from their sins." Amen? Turn to Matthew chapter 7. "He shall save His people." Are you His people this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. See, the world doesn't believe that there's a lot of sweet grandmas burning in hell. But you know what? That's sad, but that's true. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Few. You know what that says there, folks? That more people are going to die and go to hell than they are going to go to heaven. That's the truth. That's sad, but that's true. You are in an elite group. You know that? A few. And even within the few, they think we're crazy because we believe that this book is true. We're crazy people. Amen?
Amen.
But I'd be rather be crazy in heaven. I'd rather be crazy and in heaven than the world thinking me insane and burning in hell. Amen? See, we gotta. You know what we need to do? We need to redirect our perspective. See, we need to get a godly perspective on things. See, we think that people do crazy things like selling all their goods and going somewhere to preach the gospel. That's like crazy for us. That's crazy. Right? Let's be honest. What are you, crazy? You're going to give up your 401k, your medical plan, your house, your job, to go somewhere to just talk to people about Jesus? And you're crazy. But what does God think about that? Who was the first missionary in the Bible? God. God. He stepped out of glory.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He stepped out of a sinless paradise.
Amen.
Where He received worship daily. He took upon Him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, what did He do? He humbled Himself and became obedient unto for you and me. Right? "For God so loved the world," folks, we know the verses, man. We can recite them. We can recite them. But do they mean anything anymore? Or are we like Philip? Look at John 14. Are we like Philip, folks? Is God asking us that question this morning? Jesus saith unto him, "Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip?" Listen, how long has Jesus been with you? How long has He been with you? Do you know Him this morning? I'm not talking about how do you know about Him. Hey, I ain't even talking about are you saved. You know the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. It's like Brother Philobi said, is He a resident or is He the president in your life today? That's where the rubber meets the road, folks, right? That I might know Him, right? Do you know Him this morning? He knows you. He knows all about you. You don't believe me? Read Psalms 139. Put it to memory. He knows you. Down sitting and you're uprising. He knows everything about you. He knew you before you were formed in your mother's womb. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You know He knows you, and yet despite you, He loves you anyway. Praise God.
Amen.
What a God we have.
Amen.
You know what? I tell you what, I don't know about you folks, but I'm so tired. I'm tired of me. I'm tired of my thoughts. I'm tired of my flesh. You know? And if I'm tired of me, you don't think God must be tired of me sometimes? But you know every day I wake up, I get a fresh set of mercies from God. You know every day you wake up was a testimony that God was watching you as you slept. He let you breathe. Amen? Even when you're not aware of it, He's keeping you. Even if you don't believe, He cannot deny Himself. Amen? If your heart condemns you, God is greater than your heart this morning. Amen? He cannot deny Himself, folks. We serve a great God. Amen? A holy God. A loving God. So without the way, you cannot go. And I'm going to follow my notes. On to the next page. This is going good. We're going to get there. We're going to get there. Amen. So, folks, let me ask you a question. What do you know this morning? Turn to Philippians chapter 3. We sing about Him. We said we came to worship Him this morning. Do you know Him this morning? Philippians chapter 3. This is what we should purpose, folks. That I might know Him in verse 10. And the power of His resurrection. And the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Amen? Being made conformable unto His death, folks. What do you know this morning? Do you know that you're not yourself? You were purchased. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you? Listen, you don't even own your own body, folks. That's a reality. You know, I hear people like, you know, and I'm not trying to step on any toes, but I'm so sick and tired of hearing people condone what they do in their flesh. You know, there's some verses in the Old Testament that clearly says certain things about your body. Your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but you know what? That was the Old Testament. Yeah, but how much more so under grace should we abstain and keep these bodies holy and separated and different from the world? Yeah, okay, if in the Old Testament you had wave offerings, you had drink offerings, you had sin offerings, and yes, Jesus Christ didn't come to do away. He fulfilled that. But that doesn't mean that God does not esteem those Old Testament ordinances. You know what it means? That Jesus Christ appeased all that. And in Christ, I keep the wave offering. I keep the drink offering. And all those offerings in Jesus Christ. Amen? It's not like God just says, well, we're just going to do it. No, Jesus Christ fulfilled that, folks. Amen? So how much more now under grace should we keep these temples separated from the world? Just a thought. What are we going to say at the judgment seat of Christ when we stand before Him? Amen? You're going to have an excuse then? Well, Lord, you know, that verse was in Leviticus. I don't think so. Amen? Ooh, it's quiet in here. I love you in Jesus' name. Amen? Listen, you know what? We need to know some things, folks. Look at Romans chapter 13. We let the world creep in too much, folks, to our faith, our lives. We've got to be honest. Just by living and having a secular job, you just can't get away from certain things on a daily basis. Listen, it's been a hot summer. I pray for you guys that have to travel into Manhattan every day to work. I used to do that. You need to be like Job every day and make a covenant with your eyes to go to work every day in the summer in New York City. That's just the truth, folks. You know, I mean, we're not farmers like it used to be 100 years ago where you just got from your little nice house and you went out into the field, you know, 5-minute commute. You got on your tractor and then went back in and you had a nice greasy breakfast. You had a fat lunch, a fat dinner, and by 8 o'clock you went to sleep and 4 a.m., boy, you did it all again. No, you get on a bus, a train, you got to walk the streets to the building, right? And all along the way, you know what's in front of you? Stuff. You don't think that stuff affects your mind and your walk? What, are you kidding me? You know who my hero in the Bible is? Joseph. I love that guy. You know why? I'm crazy. When I read the Bible, I make it alive. You know? Like, when I read about Joseph and that beautiful Egyptian woman in that house that day, I could smell her perfume. You ever pass a woman on the street that just has a nice perfume? I love my wife's perfume, by the way. She's got the best smelling perfume anyway. But you know what I mean, right, guys? It's the senses, right? And I could see Joseph, man. You know what? That man, he fled that house. There was nobody. Nobody would have known. But you know what Joseph knew? God would have known. And that's all that matters. That's how we need to live every day. You ain't getting away with nothing, folks. God knows. He hears your thoughts. Woo! God hears what you're thinking right now. Lord help us, is right, brother. He hears your thoughts. You know why the Bible says to pray without ceasing? Anyway, for me anyway. Because, man, in my brain, there's times that I don't even know where it comes from. I'm constantly going through the day asking the Lord to forgive me. And I can't wait to a day where I just, that gets put down. And when I see Him, I'll know Him because I'll be like Him. Amen?
Amen.
But until, we need to renew our minds every day, folks. We need to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. He wasn't a life choice. He was God that came down. He is God. Amen? That's who Jesus Christ is. Back to my notes. Where was I? Romans 13. Thank you, sister. Verse 11. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. Listen, folks, you're getting closer to the judgment day from when the day you got saved. You're closer. Amen? If Paul was writing 2,000 years ago that was imminent, how much more imminent is it now? If you knew the day and the hour, would you change what you're doing right now? What would you do different? Would you alter your finances? Listen, Jesus Christ is coming. You believe that Jesus Christ is coming back one day, folks? You know that the unbelieving know that truth? You speak to a Muslim man, he'll tell you Jesus Christ is coming. Not Muhammad. I asked the Muslim, listen, if Muhammad is the all in all, right? He's your great theologian. Why isn't he coming back for you? Why isn't he coming back? You say he's a prophet of God. Why is it that Jesus is coming back? Think about that. Jesus, that name. You hear the name of Jesus mentioned on a daily basis more than any other name. I've said this before. At work, anywhere you go, ah, Jesus. Not all Buddha or all Allah. It's always Jesus by Jews, Gentiles, believers, non-believers, right? People don't say that anymore at the workplace around me because I just started giving them tracts every time I heard Jesus' name. I say, hey, listen, I thought you want to read about it. You call him. His name is Jesus. That's my Savior. People stop calling on his name, Jesus. You know what? Isn't that interesting? Why the name Jesus? Why that name? Because you know what? Every knee shall bow. And every tongue will confess one day that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's coming soon, folks. Amen? It's coming soon. It's coming soon. I got to get back to my notes. I promised. Okay. Jesus is coming, folks. Amen. Lunch is coming too, I know. Just hang on. I told you we're not the same religion, folks. We're just sinners saved by grace. And you know what? I tell you what, you should be able to get excited about Jesus. When you think about Jesus, you should have a shout. You know? You know what? Jesus. Think about who Jesus is and what he's done for you. You know? Think about that. Go home and try to think about Jesus Christ and what he's done for you. You ever get to a place where it's like a fairy tale to you? Like you have to pinch yourself and say, this can't be real. Right? I mean, be real. Listen, you know what I love about God? He's a real God. See, I don't pray eloquently like these and thous. I tell him straight how it is, man. You know, there's some days I don't even feel like praying. You know what I tell him? I say, Lord, I don't feel like praying. It's wrong. Take that from me. And you know what he does? He takes that spirit from me. You know? Lord, I don't feel like I'm saved today. Every time I fly, I get saved again. I don't know why, but I do. Just to make sure. But you know what? God is able, man. He is a real God. He meets you right where you are, folks. Wherever you are, He'll meet you there. Amen? That's the kind of God I serve. That's the kind of God I need. Amen? He's approachable. He's real. Amen? So I said, without the way, you cannot go. Without the truth, you cannot know. Do you know the truth this morning? What does that truth make you know? Amen? What do you know about God? What do you know? That's going to take me to my next point, which I already went over. So we're going to go to the next point. Without the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, you cannot grow. Amen? Without the life, you cannot grow, folks. Look at Ephesians chapter 4. You know what? I love getting around people that love Jesus Christ. That's what I love about this church. You ever get together with somebody that gets so thick, man? It's just get thick with the Spirit. You know what I'm talking about? It's just, you know what I love? I'll be honest with you. We're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, but let's be honest. Like in every family, you always have like a favorite cousin and a favorite aunt. And you know what? I'll confess, there's some of you here that I'm closer to in the Lord than others. You know why though? Here are the people that I gravitate to. I love the guys that just, they like to talk about the Lord when you're with them. You know, I mean, you can get down, you have a nice barbecue and eat. Now, I love to eat. And but you know what? The sweetest fellowship is when you just start talking about Him. When you start sharing about Him, about Jesus. Amen? And there are some folks in this place that actually, they like talking about Jesus. And those are the people that I like to be around. Amen? Because that stuff I'm hoping will rub off on me. You know what I mean? And that's it. They're not perfect people. If you look at them under a magnifying glass after a while, you'll see they got little cracks and faults. You know what I'm saying? But you know what? They love the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, that's just a beautiful thing. Iron sharpens iron. I love being around people that love the Lord, that like to talk about the Lord, that aren't ashamed to talk about Jesus. These kids are crazy, man. I heard one of them went to a McDonald's after camp. And right before they were bolting out the door, I said, excuse me, I just want to tell you folks that I'm saved.
Come on now.
I just came from a youth camp. Jesus Christ saved me, and I want to just praise Him. Amen.
Amen.
One of our teenagers. Woo! That's good stuff.
Amen.
Have you ever witnessed for the Lord Jesus Christ and at that very moment prayed, Lord, come right now? Because you knew the right then and there, you were in the center of His will. I've done that. I've done that. It is so great to speak in the name of Jesus. That's why we're here. Those are the greater things that God said we would be able to do. Amen? To speak in Jesus' name. Ephesians chapter 4. You know what? You should try it more often down here because you're going to be doing a lot of that now in eternity. Amen? This is the practice field. If you can't praise Him here, if you're too refined, well, brother, you know, I'm not like that. That's not my personality. You know, get over your personality. Let Jesus get you excited. Amen? Let Him be your president. Let Him get it all over you. All right? You got something to shout about this morning. Amen? So shout it. Amen? Ephesians chapter 4 for the fifth time. Verse 15. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into Him in all things which is the head, even Christ. 1 Peter chapter 2. Verse 2 says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. Right? If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Have anybody of you tasted that the Lord is gracious? I have. 1 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory now and forever. Amen. We need to grow in Jesus. Amen. We really do. I mean, you know, you ask this question, well, why Jesus? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. I'm going to tell you. Why Jesus? You know what? You know who Jesus Christ is? He's God.
Amen.
You know, the Bible is not a hard book to understand, but it's a hard book for men to believe. My sons a couple of weeks ago had these Jehovah's Witnesses knock on the door. And I've had this dance before. I danced this dance about 22 years ago with these guys. They come in twos. One's the theologian. One's the apprentice. You know, one's the Jedi warrior. One's just, you know, the Jedi warrior in training. One guy speaks and one guy just listens. And it doesn't matter what you show them. They got a bag with pamphlets and hocus pocus. But you know what? See, this Bible here says that Jesus Christ is God. That's just the truth. Let me ask you, if a Jehovah's Witness knocked on your door tomorrow or this afternoon, would you be able to open up the Word of God to show them that Jesus Christ is God? See, now their Bible has changed all those verses, but that's okay because this used to be their Bible up until 1950, I believe. See? So they won't speak badly about this Bible until you get them to a point where they have to admit that this Bible doesn't say the same thing as their Bible or their book. But you know what John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was what? God. Well, who is the Word? And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The Word is God. Amen? Romans 9:5. What does it say? Whose are the fathers and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came? Who is over all? God blessed forever. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15:47 says, the first man is of the earth. Earthy, speaking of Adam. The second man is the Lord from heaven, speaking of Jesus Christ. John 20:28 says, and Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Thomas knew he was God. Amen. Psalms 110:1 says, the Lord said it unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Matthew 22, Jesus Christ even asked the Pharisees this same question. Matthew 22, turn here real quick. Listen, I serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's God. Amen? You know that God stepped out of eternity and He did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I don't have religion. God died for me. Amen? If you can wrap your brain around that and understand that completely, you come and please share that with me later. Because I'm still trying to figure that thing out. That God died for me. 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 Matthew 22, look at verse 41. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They said unto him, the son of David. 43, he said unto them, how then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then called him Lord, how is he his son? Wow. And verse 46, and no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. He shut them up. Never a man spake like this man. Never a man spake like Jesus Christ. Amen? That's what it's about, folks. You want to get closer to God? You want to feel His power in you every day? You know what you need to do? Fall in love with Jesus. Esteem your Savior. Read about Him. Spend time with Him. Pray. Amen? Sit at His feet. It's so simple, but yet it's so complicated sometimes. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel. Matthew 1:23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Jesus Christ is God, folks. That's what my Bible says. Amen. Isaiah 9:6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Micah 5:2 says, but thou, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth, speaking of Jesus, unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose going forth hath been from old, from everlasting. He always was, folks. He was not created. That's a lie from the pit of hell. So when they come and knock on your door and try to sell you that bill of goods, turn them to Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and show them. Read it. He's from everlasting. He always was. He always will be. Amen? Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. And in John 8:58, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. What's Jesus saying? That I am, I am. That I am, that I am. That Moses spoke to. Back in Exodus. Oh, Jesus never said he was God. Really? Woo! Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Jesus received worship, folks. 9:38. Luke 4, verse 8 says, and Jesus answered and said unto him, speaking to the devil, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. What is Jesus saying? The only person that's worthy to receive worship is God himself. Yet Jesus received worship. You know what that means? That Jesus is God. Amen? It's simple, folks. It's not hard to understand. But you know what? It's hard to believe. You know why? Because they'll strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. They'll strain at a gnat and swallow a camel. You know what the danger is, though, folks? There's a lot of saved people walking around as if they strained at a gnat and swallowed a camel. They got no joy. They got no peace. They got nothing. No fruit. What is the fruit? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temper. Against such there is no law. Listen, if you're not happy today in Jesus, there's something wrong with you. You understand that? It's not God's fault. It's your fault. I mean, really. Listen, I'm not saying you got to walk around with a smile all the time. But you know what? You should be smiling on the inside. You know? Your cup should be overflowing. Amen? 1 Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Jesus is God. Amen? 1 John 5:7, for there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. Hebrews 1, verse 8, I had my brother-in-law tell me one time, listen, Jesus never said he was God. I said, I'm going to do you one better, E.T. I'm going to show you where God said that Jesus was God. So I took him to Hebrews 1, verse 8. He said, if you could show me where Jesus said he's God, I'll get saved right now. This is what he told me in my house. Smacked on the tables. I'll get saved. I'll convert right now. I knew he was lying. But I smiled at him and I leaned in and opened up the Bible. And I said, well, look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 8. This is God speaking. But unto the Son he said, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. God the Father said that Jesus Christ the Son was God. So then, after I showed him that, he looked at me and says, well, that's not the Word of God. Ah, that's the first true thing you said all day. It's not what the Bible says. It's what you believe. You don't believe the Bible is the Word of God. You know, and you know what? Sometimes the devil gets us to live our lives in a way like we don't believe that the Bible is the Word of God. That the things that are written in here are not fables. These are not accounts. These are accounts, not stories. It's not the story of Lazarus. It's not the story of Moses. These are historical records. I never tell, well, you know the story about, no, it ain't a story. Men make up stories. These are actual accounts of real events that happened. Past, future, present, and future. And that's the way we got to read it. Like it is an account. And that we will give an account. Amen. For the account that we read. Amen. Say that fast a few times. Right? We'll give an account, folks. This is real stuff. There is coming that day you're going to stand before Jesus. You're going to give an account for your health. You're going to give an account for the sound mind. You're going to give an account whether it's 1 year, 2 years, 30 years, 40 years saved. I love, listen, God is merciful. I love the parable where, those guys are hired to work in the field. And the guys that labored at 6 a.m. through the evening, they got same, what was it, a penny? They got the same wage as the guy that got hired late in the day, right? And that's how God is, man. I don't care. Listen, it's never too late to gain in the game with God. Maybe you wasted 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. So what? Get up now and do something for Jesus. Amen? I mean, that's just the truth. Start living for Him today. Don't worry about yesterday. Yesterday's past. What about today? You got today. That's all we got. Listen, we could talk about what we're going to do next Sunday or this Wednesday or even tonight, but you know what? It's by God's grace that it even happens. You know what? If He comes back this afternoon, so what? You won't have this evening. Amen? I mean, that's the truth. What about today? Revelation chapter 1, verse 5. And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. The Bible says it was Jesus' blood that washed us from our sins on the cross. Acts 20:28. Turn there. Acts 20:28. I'm almost done. Acts 20:28. You have to remind yourselves, folks. I know I need to remind myself every day who Jesus Christ is. He's not someone to be trifled with. He's God. You understand that? He's God. You know, you get to speak to God through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know what a privilege that is? That you get to, you have access, you can come boldly to the throne. You know that Old Testament, read about those guys. They didn't just come and step into God's presence. There was a way. That guy had to be prayed up, cleansed, and even then he had this thing around his waist that God forbid he went in there with sin. They would pull him out of there because he'd be struck dead. You don't fool around with God. God is real, folks. There should be a reverence and fear of who you serve. Amen. When you meet in Jesus' name, the Bible says when two or more are gathered in His name, He is there in the midst. You should walk away from a service saying, wow, that was a terrible place because the presence of God was there. Amen. Don't come in here flippantly with your cup of coffee and your conversation while we're singing praises to Jesus' name. Take it outside in the hall. You ever think about that? How could we come in here and worship and praise Jesus and then have a casual conversation with our neighbor while someone right next to you is praising Jesus in song? Brothers, these things ought not to be so. Really, they shouldn't be that way. We're not legalistic here. We don't tell you how to dress, what to do. But let's be honest, folks. Are we worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ? Listen, play the game. What would Jesus do? Picture Jesus sitting right next to you in every service. I mean, you can see Him. He's right there. While you're singing praises, would you start chit-chatting with your neighbor while Jesus is sitting right there? What a Savior. Would you start, yeah. Did you see that movie last night? Come on. Let's be real. God is real. Amen? Yes. Boy, it's real quiet in here. Real quiet. Acts 20, verse 28. Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over to which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. That verse tells me that God has purchased the church with His own blood. And Revelation says that it was Jesus' blood. Guess what, folks? They're one and the same. Jesus Christ is God. God did for you and I what we couldn't do for ourselves. He didn't send a messenger. He didn't send a servant. He didn't send a diplomat. He sent Himself. Amen? You don't get any better than that. So think about religion. I mean, if you believe that you can die in faith, and faith in what? Listen, the Bible says, Jesus on the page, it's finished. You can't add anything to the sacrifice of the Lord. It was God Himself that died for us. You don't get any more perfect than that, folks. I mean, how could you add to or take from that? If to suggest that somehow that's not sufficient is blasphemy. It's blasphemy. I mean, He either did it or He didn't do it. There's nothing you can add. You know one thing about religion too? You never know at the end of the road where you're going to be. You do all this stuff and you're still relying on the muckety-mucks back in the camp to pray for you, to do this. Listen, I'm so glad that my salvation isn't dependent on anybody in this room, myself included, that it has been sanctified, justified by the Lord Jesus Christ, purchased with His blood. I'm sealed unto the day of redemption in Jesus' name. I don't have to trust in anybody. Amen? And that's the truth, folks. It's Jesus. That's it. It's His way or no way. Amen? That's what the Bible says. I believe it. Amen? How about you this morning? Amen? He's coming back, folks. We'll give an account. Will you stand with your head held high that day? Will you hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? Or will you have to hang your head in shame because you wasted His blessings? I want a full reward. Wouldn't it be a shame to go out into eternity to find out that Jesus went to prepare a place for you? You know, He had nothing but the best for you. And you missed out somewhere in some things because you just refused to give up this life for the next. It's simple mathematics. I'm a simple guy. What do we get here? 70? What's that? 70 years? What is that compared to an eternity? An eternity. Forever. Forever. I mean, really, that's what it is. Let me tell you, life goes fast, doesn't it? I remember when I was a kid, man. I'm 47 years old now, you know? It goes fast. Some of you are older, right? And doesn't it go fast? Before you look up, you'll be 70. If maybe by grace of God, you reach 80. Do you want to look back and have any regrets? I don't want any regrets, folks. I don't know. I'm crazy, you know? I mean, because He's coming soon, right? So maybe we should sell out now, man. Right? And so that we could all go out with a full reward. How about that? Imagine that, going out with a full reward. You don't have to hang your head in shame. You hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Amen? I want to be part of that crowd. He's worthy. You know why? God can ask that of me. You know why? Because He did that for me. He gave all for me. He stepped out of glory. He became the very thing that He detested, sin. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him, right? Although He was rich, just for our sakes, what? He became poor, that we through His poverty might be rich, right? You know the verses, right? I mean, listen, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ here today, you are rich, amen? We are rich, we are blessed people, amen? So let's be about our Father's business. Let's not just be high on the aftermath of a conference. You know, let's provoke one another into love and good works every day. Let's live on top of the mountain on Tuesday, on Thursday, on Monday. Monday's a tough day for me. But by God's grace, I can live on top of the mountain even on a Monday. Amen? And that's the key, folks. The key is not what you do on Sunday morning. What are you going to do when you walk out those double doors before you come back here? Where are you going to live? How are you going to live? What are you going to do? Just remember that Jesus goes with you. Lo, I'm with you always. Right? Even unto the end of the world. You ain't fooling anybody. I don't care how you dress up, put your tie on, comb your hair, put your cologne on. He knows you. He knows me. Amen? He knows you. Amen? And he loves us anyway. Amen? Thank you for your attention. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father in heaven, Lord, I thank you for your grace and your mercy in my life, Lord. Father, I just pray that, Father, that you get all the glory and honor, Father, from what's said and done in this service, Lord. I thank you for your grace, Lord. Father, I just pray if there be one here this morning who doesn't know you personally, Lord, that doesn't realize that you have died for their sins, Father, there's nothing they can add to, Father. I just pray that they would see their need for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, that today would be their day of salvation, Lord. And Father, Lord, forgive me, Lord, if I spoke something in error, Lord. I just pray that by your grace, Lord, you might just apply your word to our hearts, Lord. Dismiss us with your love and your care, Father. And Lord, I just pray that you'd watch over us the remainder of this day, Lord. Bring us back this evening, Lord. Prepare the hearts of those who will be preaching this evening, Lord. And Father, just thank you for the privilege it is to speak in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord. That name which is above every name, Father. You're such a good God, Lord. Thank you for loving us and caring for us. Thank you for the blessed privilege it is today to worship you in spirit and truth, to sing praises unto the name of Jesus Christ. I just pray that all that was said and done in this building today came before you as a sweet incense, Lord, and that you were pleased with it, Father. Just take this service and use it for your glory and for your honor, Lord. I thank you and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You are dismissed.